BBC World Theatre presents Margaret Leighton and Donald Wolfit in The Dance of Death by August Strindberg.
Soon be time to go and change the guard. Captain in command of a coastal battery gets no peace. Why not play me something?
What shall I play?
Whatever you like.
But you don't like my repertoire.
No, you mine.
Do you want the doors left open?
Just as you like.
Well, then we may as well leave them. Well, you're not smoking.
No. I'm beginning to find strong tobacco doesn't agree with me.
Then why don't you try a milder one? You're always saying it's your one and only joy nowadays.
Joy? What's that?
Don't ask me. I've had just as little experience of it as you. Oh, wouldn't you like your whiskey now?
No, I think I'll wait a bit. What have you got for supper?
I don't know. You must ask Kristen that.
Isn't it about time mackerel was in? Autumn?
Yes, it is autumn.
Outside and in, eh? However, apart from autumn, outside or in, a bit of grilled mackerel with a slice of lemon and a glass of white burgundy is not to be lightly dismissed.
Well, you're positively eloquent.
But is there any burgundy in the cellar?
I'd no idea we had a cellar these last 5 years.
Oh, you never know anything. Anyhow, we must lay in a supply for our silver wedding.
Well, surely you don't mean to celebrate that.
Naturally, I do.
Well, I should have thought the natural thing would be to hide our misery. Our 25 years' misery.
Dear Alice, misery? Oh, sometimes it's been quite nice. And one must make the most of one's declining years. When they're gone, it's all over, you know.
All over? If only it were.
Of course it is. About as much as it'll go into a wheelbarrow and then into a flower bed.
And all the wear and worry of this life to end up on a flower bed.
Well, that's about the cut of it. Wasn't my idea.
All that wear and worry. Well, did you get your letters?
Yeah.
Was there a bill from the butcher?
Yes.
Is it for very much?
Well, it's... you read it. I can't see.
And what's wrong with your eyes?
I don't know.
That's old age.
Stuff and nonsense. Me?
Yes, well, not me.
Oh, no.
Can you pay it?
Yes, but not yet.
Well, I know. Later on, I suppose. Next year, when you're retired on a ridiculous pension. And it's too late. Later on, when... Well, perhaps you're taken ill again.
Ill? Well, never went sick in my life. Bit off colour once or twice. I'm good for another 20 years.
Well, the doctor didn't seem to think so.
Oh, the doctor?
Yes, there really isn't any other source of reliable medical opinion.
I'm not ill, and never have been, and I shan't be. I shall go off like an old soldier. Poof! All in a moment.
Talking of the doctor, you know they have a party there tonight.
What about it? We're not invited because we don't encourage the doctor's set. And we don't encourage them because we don't want to. I despise that couple. The riffraff.
That's what you say about everyone.
But everyone is riffraff.
Except you.
Yes, because I've always behaved correctly on all occasions. And that's why I am not riffraff.
Well, how about a game of cards?
Oh, if you like. They're in the drawer.
Fancy them letting the doctor have the regimental band for a private party.
Well, it's only because he's always crawling into town and grovelling to the colonel. Grovelling, that's how it's done. Anyone can bring oneself to do it.
Shall I deal?
Yeah.
I used to be quite friendly with Goethe at one time until I found out how deceitful she was.
They're all deceitful. What a trumps?
Put your glasses on.
Oh, then glasses are no good. Well?
Spades are trumps.
Spades?
You'll need. Anyhow, you may be quite sure that in the minds of the new officers' wives, we're already branded.
My trick. Well, what about it? We don't give parties, so who'll be tuppence the wiser? Yours. I can do without company. I always have done.
I also. But not the children. They're growing up without companions.
They must find their companions in the town, not here.
No. This is no home. A tower. A fort. With bare stone walls and a view of the coastal battery.
My trick. Have you got another trump?
Yes, one. That's mine.
Yeah. 6 and 8 are 15.
14.
Oh, all right. 6 and 8 are 14. I seem to be getting out of count into the bargain. And 2, 16. Your deal.
You're tired.
No, not a bit of it.
We can hear the band even here. Do you suppose they invited Kurt?
Well, he got in this morning, so I dare say he's had time to unpack his dress clothes, if not to call on us.
Quarantine, officer. Are they going to start quarantine on the island?
Yeah.
Well, at all events, he is my cousin. We were born with the same name.
quite unremarkable distinction.
Oh, once for all, please leave my family alone and I'll leave yours.
All right, all right, all right. Now, don't let's begin that all over again.
Hasn't a quarantine officer to be a doctor?
Good Lord, no, only a civilian of some kind, a superintendent or a bookkeeper. Kurt never managed to be anything.
He was a fool.
Yeah, a fool who's cost me a pretty penny. And then leaving his wife and children like that. Thoroughly disgraced himself.
Edgar, don't be so harsh.
Well, I said he did. What's he been doing in America ever since? Can't say I'm positively yearning to see him. Only as I remember him, he was quite a pleasant sort of chap. I must say I used to enjoy arguing with him.
Only because he always gave way.
That's beside the point. He was at least a man one could talk to. Here on this preposterous island, there's not a soul can understand what I say to him. Population of idiots.
But how odd that Kurt should arrive like this, just in time for our silver wedding. Well, whether we celebrate it or not.
Well, what's odd about it? Oh, I follow you, yes, of course. He brought us together, didn't he? Married you off, as they say.
Well, so he did.
That's a fact. It was certainly an idea. I'll leave you to say what kind.
He was only having a bit of fun.
For which he hasn't had to pay.
No. I might still be on the stage. All the friends I have then are stars
oh,
now.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, now I think I will have that whiskey. There ought to be one of those rail things here to put your feet on, then you could think we were in Copenhagen at the American bar.
We ought to have one made, just to remind us of Copenhagen. Oh, that was the best time we ever had.
You remember the Neverell Town, Mims?
And the concerts at the Tivoli?
You have such elegant taste.
Well, you should be thankful you have a wife with good taste.
Sure, yeah.
Sometimes, when you want to create an impression.
They must be dancing at the doctor's. Listen, I can catch the waltz time on the tuba, listen.
Oh, I can hear the waltz. It's the Alcazar. Well, it's many a long day since I danced a waltz.
You think you still could?
Still?
Yes, I just thought your dancing days were over, like mine.
You forget I'm 10 years younger than you.
Oh, well, we must be the same age. Did you ever hear of a wife who wasn't 10 years younger?
Oh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're an old man. I'm still in my best years.
Oh, yes, 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 I know. You can be charming enough.
Do you think we ought to light up?
Yes, why not?
Well, then ring.
All right.
Yes?
Well, Jenny, please light the lamp, will you?
Yes.
The hanging lamp, Jenny.
Yes, ma'am.
I said... Oh, well, light the desk lamp first, if you must. Have you wiped the chimney properly?
Of course.
Well, is that the right way to answer?
No,
Alex. Well, go back to the kitchen, Jenny. I'll do it myself. That would be much better.
That's what I think.
Exactly. Now go.
And I wonder what you'd say, ma'am, if I took you at your word and did go.
I light it.
Do you think she really will go this
time? Yes, if you don't go into the kitchen and speak very nicely to her.
Me?
Yes, because if I go, you'll only accuse me of flirting with the maid.
Well, but supposing she goes, it'll be like last time. I shall have all the housework to do and my hands will be simply ruined.
It's worse than that. If Jenny goes, Christine will go with her. You'll never get servants over to the island again.
Do you want to play anymore?
No, it's much too tiring.
All the same, it makes me simply furious to think of my cousin Kurt going off to our enemies like that the moment he lands.
Doesn't matter all that much, does it?
Did you see the list of new arrivals in the paper? Well, he put himself down as of independent means. Well, he must have come into money.
A rich relation, eh? Certainly the first one in the family.
When yours, I dare say. There have always been plenty in mine.
If he's got money, he's probably got a pretty good conceit of himself. I'll have to deal with him. Oh, a telegraph.
Who is it, I wonder?
Well, wait a minute.
Well, why not go and see?
Because I can hear. I can read it off as it comes in. Oh, it's the children. They're using the guardhouse telegraph in town.
Well?
Wait a minute. Just a minute. Judith's not well again. Staying away from school.
Well, not again. Did they say anything else?
Money, naturally.
I can't think why Judith's in such a hurry. It won't make any difference if she doesn't take her exam till next year.
Oh, you just tell her that and see how far you'll get.
Well, then you tell her.
I have told her a dozen times. You know, as well as I do, children nowadays do just what they like.
They do in this house. Oh, sure, you needn't yawn in my face.
Well, what else can I do? Haven't you noticed how we say the same damn things to each other day in and day out?
You're thoroughly amiable this evening, aren't you? Wouldn't you like me to play to you?
Ah, the last resort. Yes, why not? so long as you keep off that mournful stuff you're so fond of. Give me the creeps, and it sounds like self-pity. I always find there's so fitting words to it. Hear how unhappy I am. Meow, 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 meow. See what a horrible husband I've got. Oh, my, how so will he die? Oh, no, no, let's have some rousing drum stuff. Fanfares with the Alcazar waltz and the champagne gallop to finish up with. Talking of champagne, haven't we got a couple of bottles left? Why don't we fix them up and make believe we're giving a party?
We'll do no such thing. They're mine. They were a present to me.
Oh, you're always economical.
And you're always stingy to your wife, at any rate.
I don't quite know what we'd better do. Would you like me to dance for you?
No, thank you. Your dancing days are over, you know.
I think you should have some woman friend to stay with you.
No, thank you. Why don't you have some man friend to stay with you?
No, thank you. We tried that. We agreed it didn't work. It was interesting as an experiment. The moment we had a strange face in the house, we were positively happy, to begin with.
But later on...
Oh, now, let it go at that.
Who can that be at this time?
Well, Jenny's not in the habit of knocking.
Well, go and see who it is. Well, and don't bellow come in as if the place were a workshop.
You don't love work, do you?
Open the door.
Excuse me. Is it incoming? Hey, where's Jenny? Jenny's
cleared
out.
Oh, so I'm to be the housemaid again.
Yes, and I'm a man servant. Here, no, you read this. If anything, I can't read it.
Oh, Kurt! It's Kurt! Go and bring him in.
Kurt? Yes.
Yes, yes, of course. Kurt! Yes, yeah, it's wonderful. Come in, Kurt. Well, here he is. The old traitor. Let's have a good look at you.
Oh, Kurt, it's nice to see you in my house again.
Thanks. Well, it must be ages since we all met.
15 years, eh? We're getting old.
Oh, but Kurt hasn't altered a scratch.
Oh, why don't we sit down? First of all, we'll watch a program. Do you have any plans for this evening?
Well, I was invited to the doctor's, but I didn't definitely say I'd go.
But then you must stay with your relations.
It's quite the natural thing to do, of course. On the other hand, the doctor is, strictly speaking, my superior, and I dare say that'd be trouble.
Well, none of that worry you. I'm the master on this island. You just keep behind me, and nobody will dare to lay a finger on you.
Oh, that's enough, Edgar. Kurt, you'll stay with us, won't you?
Yes, very well. Especially as I can't help feeling I'm welcome.
Why on earth shouldn't you be? There's no longer the slightest thing between us. You were a little thoughtless, perhaps, but you were very young. And I made a point of forgetting it.
Edgar.
Sit down, Kurt. Sit down.
Thank you.
Well, you certainly managed to see something of the world.
Yes, and ended up by getting a job near you two.
Whom you so obligingly married off 25 years ago.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. Well, anyhow, I'm delighted to find you sticking together for 25 years.
Yes, we've jogged along. Things have been a bit average sometimes, but as you say, we've stuck together. And Alice has nothing to complain of. Never went short of anything. Always plenty of money coming in.
Well, you've been going abroad, I hear.
Yes, we've been to Copenhagen 5 times. Now, what do you think of that?
You see, when I took Alice off the stage...
Took?
I took you as a wife should always be.
Oh, you're quite brave about it now.
That painting's of you, isn't it? Theatrical costume.
Yeah, I was 20 when that was done.
Well, now we have to keep it hanging over the piano with a laurel wreath on either side. Mm. I heard so much about having ruined my wife's brilliant career that I had to pay for it by promising to take her to Copenhagen. Promised I'd kept nobly. We've been there no less than 5 times. 5! You ever been to Copenhagen?
No, I've been in America mostly.
America? Mm. Pretty ghastly sort of place, isn't it?
Well, it's not quite Copenhagen.
Have you heard anything of your children lately?
No.
My dear, well, forgive me, but wasn't it perhaps just a little remiss of you to leave them like that?
But I didn't leave them. The court gave me custody of the children to the mother.
Personally, I think you were very lucky to get out of that business at all.
Well, how are your children?
Oh, they're both quite well, thank you. They go to school in the town, and they're growing up fast.
I expect you've heard there's a big quarantine station here, and as you know, the doctor will be my superior. Now, what sort of a man is he?
Man, he's not a man, he's an ignorant blackguard.
Oh, well, it doesn't sound too promising.
Oh, he isn't as bad as Edgar makes out.
I say the fellow's a blackguard, like all the rest of them. The postmaster, the telephone girl, the chemist, they're all blackguards, a whole bunch of them. That's why I won't have anything to do with them.
Don't you find it rather dreadful, living exclusively amongst your enemies?
It's not entirely pleasant.
I have had nothing but enemies all my life.
And far from doing me any harm, they've been a positive help. And when I die, I shall be able to say, I'm indebted to no one for anything. I never had anything for nothing, and I had to struggle for everything I possessed.
Yes, Edgar's path hasn't been strewn with roses.
With thorns and stones, Kurt. Sharp flints. But a man's own strength. Does that mean anything to you?
Yes. As I realized its inadequacy 10 years ago.
Then you're a fool.
Edgar.
Yes, he must be. He's got no strength of his own. Obviously, when the machine's worn right out, it's only a barrel load for the flower beds. But as long as the contraption holds together, you've just got to keep on fighting and marching with hands and feet, or even without them. That's my philosophy.
Well, anyhow, it's amusing to hear you say so.
Wind's getting up. Better shut the doors.
You'll stay and have some supper, won't you, Kurt?
Thanks. I'd like to very much.
You'll have to put up with something very simple, I'm afraid. My housemaid's just left me.
Oh, absolutely. Anything will suit me.
Glasses for me?
Well, I'll go and see to it. You two can sit here and philosophize.
Sure.
Don't contradict him or he'll lose his temper. And don't ask him why he isn't a major yet.
Now give us something nice, old girl, while you're about it.
Well, give me some money and I might be able to.
Oh, always money. Money, 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 money. I won't leave my purse all day long. I should soon begin to feel like a person.
No, I used to feel like a pocket.
So you've had a taste of that, eh? These women. Yes, you certainly managed to get yourself one of that sort.
That's a close chapter, no?
She was a beauty. Though in my own case, I must admit, I got quite a good one. She is straight, you know, in spite of everything.
In spite of everything?
Yes, she's been a faithful wife, an admirable mother. Remarkably so, but she's got a perfectly diabolical temper. You know, there have been moments when I cursed you for saddling me with her.
But I didn't. Now, listen.
No, you're talking nonsense. And you're forgetting things you don't care to remember.
But I didn't provide you with a wife. Quite the contrary.
Anyhow, life's a damned queer business, don't you think?
It is.
And then there's getting old. That's not pleasant. It's interesting. I'm not an old man yet, but I'm beginning to feel my age, you know. Death thins the ranks of your acquaintances. You begin to feel lonely.
A man's very lucky who has a wife to grow old with him.
Lucky? Well, yes, I suppose he's lucky because, of course, the time comes when the children go away too. You oughtn't to have left yours, you
but
know.
But I didn't. They were taken away.
No, get
but I tell you, it wasn't like.
Well, everybody was, it's all forgotten now. And what have you been doing with yourself these 15 years? They tell me you're quite a rich man.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that.
All right. I'm not going to try and borrow from you.
Well, if you were, you'd be quite welcome.
That was very good of you. I have my account at the bank. You see, anything needed in this house has to be instantly forthcoming. The day I ran out of money, Alice would leave me.
No.
I know different. She's always on the lookout for the odd chance that I happen to be short of cash, just to enjoy convicting me of being unable to support my family.
But didn't you tell me you had a large income?
So I have. It's not large enough.
What's that?
Oh, the telegraph. Only a time check.
Well, haven't you got the telephone?
Yes, there's one in the kitchen. We prefer using the telegraph because the telephone girl repeats every single word we say.
I should think that social life must be grim here on the coast.
It's horrible. But then all life is horrible. You believe in life after death? Do you suppose that'll be any more peaceful?
Right. I expect there'll be plenty of storm and strife there as well.
There as well, eh? If there is such a place. Then I prefer annihilation.
And are you so sure that annihilation will be painless?
I shall die suddenly and painlessly.
You sound quite certain about it.
I know it.
Well, you don't strike me as very satisfied with your existence.
Satisfied? The day I die, I shall be satisfied.
Well, that's something you don't know. Look here, what are you two up to in this house? What's going on here? I hadn't promised Alice to stay. I wouldn't. There was a feeling of death here and hatred. So much hatred you can hardly breathe. Edgar. Edgar, what's the matter? Edgar!
What are you saying? Thought it was Alice. Oh, yes, it's you.
Edgar! Edgar! Alice!
What's the matter?
I don't know. Your husband. Look.
Oh, it's nothing, Kurt.
It's nothing to be alarmed about. He gets like that sometimes. If I play the piano, he'll probably wake up.
Let me try again. Can he see and hear when he's like this?
No.
You can be as calm as that about it. Alice, what's going on in this house?
You'd better ask him.
Alice, he is your husband.
To me, he's a stranger, just as he was 25 years ago. I know absolutely nothing about that man, except that...
He can hear you.
No, he can't hear anything.
Bugle call. Alice, my cap. My sabre. Quickly, get it. Thank you. Now, if you'll excuse me, I was going to change the guard. Guard!
Seal?
I don't know.
Has his mind given way?
I don't know.
What does he drink?
He brags about it. Actually, it takes very little.
I wish you'd tell me all about it, Alice. I want to know the truth.
What is there to tell? That I've wasted a lifetime shut up in this tower, guarded by a man I've always hated, and whom I now hate so thoroughly that the day he died, I should laugh myself sick.
Why on earth didn't you separate?
You may well ask. We broke up our engagement twice. Since then, there hasn't been a day on which we didn't try to separate. But we seem to be so chained together that we can't get free. Once we were separated under the same roof for 5 impossible years. But we know now that only death can part us. And we can only wait.
What made you two as lonely as that?
Well, he went out of his way to isolate me. It got to such a pitch that telegraph over there became my only link with the people in the outside world. You see, the telephone girl listens to whatever I say. He doesn't know I taught myself telegraphy, and you mustn't tell him. He'd kill me if he found out.
That's terrible. I can't think why he makes out that I'm responsible for your marriage. When he fell in love with you at first sight, he came and asked me to intercede for him, and I refused. You see, my dear Alice, I knew your heartlessness and your capricious temper only too well. So I warned him. And when he persisted, I suggested he asked your brother's help.
I can quite believe it, but you'll never get him to.
Well, let him go on blaming me then. I'm used to that. What does hurt me is his unfairness in accusing me of deserting my children.
He'll say whatever comes into his head and then go on believing it. He seems to get on with you, chiefly because you don't contradict him. Try not to get tired of us. I believe you've come at just the right moment. You might almost have been sent here. Kurt, you mustn't get tired of us. I think we must be the two most miserable people on earth.
I've seen one marriage close to, and that was pretty awful, but this is even worse.
Whose fault is it?
Haven't you any idea why you hate each other like this?
No. It's utterly irrational and endless so far as I can see. And why do you suppose he fears death more than anything else? Because he's afraid of my marrying again.
Well, then, he loves you.
Very likely. But that doesn't stop him hating me.
Yes, they call it love-hate. It's as old as evil itself. Tell me, does he like you to play to him?
Yes, but only detestable tunes, like that maddening entry of the Boyards. And when he does hear it, he behaves like a child and wants to dance to it.
Dance? What, by himself, do you mean?
Oh, yes, sometimes he's ridiculous.
There's another thing I know you won't mind my asking, but where are the children?
2 of them are dead, you know.
You've also had that to go through.
What haven't I had to go through?
Yes, but what about the other 2?
They're in the town. It was no good trying to keep them at home. He set them against me.
And you set them against him.
Yes, I did. What should be the chief blessing of a home became the curse of ours. Sometimes I think we're all under a curse.
Well, I suppose we are, since the fall.
What fall?
The one in Genesis, the first parents.
Oh, I thought you meant something else. Oh, Kurt, if only the house would catch
Alice,
fire.
Alice.
The sea would swallow us up.
Don't
or something.
Talk like that.
Oh, Kurt, you won't go, will you? You won't leave me.
No, Alice, I'm not going.
Yes, but when you have gone.
He's never hit you, has he?
Me? Oh, I should think not. He knows I'd leave him the moment he did that. Oh, one must keep one's few scraps of pride.
Is that him?
Yes.
What on earth are we to do?
I don't know.
Oh, that's that. Now, the female again. Well, she had time to tell you all her woes.
She leads a dog's life, doesn't she, eh?
What's the weather like outside?
Blowing half a gale, listen. Bluebeard and the maiden in the tower. And outside, the sentry goes up and down with drawn sword to guard the little darling. Ah, but there's the sentry, you see. He's quite worth looking at. Look, right, look, right. Oh, he's a good soldier, that chap. Merry chump, 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 cha. Merry chalabalabalay. You know, we ought to have the sword dance, you know. Good, never seen that.
Something like the entry of the Boyards would be more in my line.
You know it, do you? Good. Alice, come along and play it for us.
No, no.
Never mind your kitchen, no. Apron. Come along now, play. One, two.
Oh, dear God. Thank God.
What's the matter with him?
Is he dead?
I don't know. Give me a hand.
I can't touch him. Is he dead?
No. He's all right.
Oh.
Go on. Up you come. There. Let's get you into this chair.
What happened? What happened?
You fell down.
Yeah. Then what happened?
Well, you just fell on the floor. How do you feel?
Feel? Nothing wrong with me. I'm all right. What are you two staring at?
You're ill. I'm going to telephone the doctor.
Oh, the doctor, I don't want to.
Well.
Will you get me a glass of water?
I suppose I've got to.
How kind of you.
There. Are you ill?
I must apologize, Alice, for not being well.
Then I hope you're prepared to look after yourself.
You're not likely to do that, I suppose.
You can be quite sure of that.
This is the moment that you've been waiting for so long.
And which you thought would never come.
Well, don't be angry about it.
Well, my dear Edgar... The doctor says he knows all about that heart of yours.
My heart?
Yes. Arteriosclerosis. He says you've had it for some time.
Hardening of the arteries. Is it serious?
Yeah.
Fatal?
Well, you've got to go carefully for a bit. No more cigars. No more whiskey. And to bed.
No. Now, if the ones get you to bed, it's all up with you. No. I shall sleep down here. On the sofa tonight. Did he say any more?
Well, he was quite nice, and he said he'd come at once if you send for him.
Nice, was he, though? Because I don't want to see him. I don't want to. I suppose I can eat.
Not tonight, I'm afraid. And for the next few days, milk only.
Milk? Can't possibly take that stuff. It's coming on again.
What did the doctor say?
He might die.
Thank God.
Careful.
I'll settle him down on the couch and I'll sit up with him tonight.
What about me?
Well, you go to bed.
I'll do whatever you say. I really believe you mean well to both of us.
Yes, both of you. I'm not taking sides. Now, Alice, you get a blanket and a pillow. I'll fill the water jug. Come along.
Very well.
Oh, Alice... Alice!
What is it? Are you afraid?
Afraid? Rubbish.
If you really won't go to bed, you must make do with this.
I shall. Are you all right here? Alice.
Don't touch me.
Kurt. You'll stay with me, won't you?
I'm going to sit up with you. And Alice can go to bed.
Good night, then. Alice.
Good night, Kurt.
Good night. Now, why not take your boots off?
I'm still on duty.
Do you expect a battle?
Perhaps. Good. Listen, you're the only person I've ever talked to about myself. If anything should happen to me tonight, look after my children.
I will.
Thanks. I know we've never been friends, anyhow. I don't believe in friendship.
And yet you trust me.
Yes, why, I don't know. You think I'm going to die?
Just like anyone else. No exception will be made in your case, you know.
And you've been bitter.
Yeah. And are you afraid of death, the wheelbarrow and the flower bed?
But supposing that isn't the end.
A great many people would say it isn't.
You're not simple enough to believe in hell.
Don't you believe in it? Even when living in it?
It's only a figure of speech.
You've described it so clearly that as far as I'm concerned, it's not a figure of speech at all.
If you only knew how I'm suffering.
Oh. Do you mean bodily?
No.
Well, then it must be spiritually. There's no other alternative.
I don't want to die.
Not so long ago, you favored annihilation.
Yes, if it's painless.
Apparently it isn't.
I see. Then, is this annihilation?
The beginning of it.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, he spent half the night talking about religion, solving all the problems of reality with the arguments of a schoolboy. And finally, in the small hours, he hit on the immortality of the soul.
And all to the greater glory of Edgar, I'm sure.
He really is the most conceited man I've ever met. You know, I exist, therefore God must.
So you discovered that. Oh, look at those boots. They'd have trodden the earth flat if he'd had the chance, just as he's trodden me. But that's all over now.
Haven't you anything good to say of him?
Oh, yes. But so long as he doesn't hear it, he doesn't need more than one word of approval to set off that insane pride of his.
Oh, he can't hear. He's had some morphia.
Well, you know Edgar's family was wretchedly poor. There were a lot of younger brothers and sisters, and the father was a worthless creature. Before he was grown up, Edgar found himself giving lessons to support the lot. It's hard for a young boy to sacrifice his youth slaving for a pack of ungrateful children he didn't bring into the world. I was a little girl then, and I used to see him without an overcoat in midwinter, while his little sisters all had nice warm coats. Oh. Yeah, it was fine, and I admired him. But he was so ugly that I couldn't stand him. Oh. He is ugly, don't you think?
Yes, I suppose he is, in a way. It always struck me when we had a row.
Just think of me, then. Of course, his early days in the army were an absolute martyrdom. Now and then some rich friend would help him a bit, but he'd never admit it. He's always taken that sort of thing simply as his due.
We were going to speak well of him.
Yes. When he's dead, perhaps. Anyhow, well, I don't remember anything else.
But how was it he never got promotion?
They weren't going to have a man over them who tyrannized already. His own story is that he didn't want promotion. Did he refer to the children?
He kept on wishing Judith was here.
I can well believe it. Do you know what Judith is? She's her father over again and trained by him to go against me. Just think, my own daughter has actually struck me.
Oh, that's a shocking state of affairs.
He moved. I suppose he has been asleep. You don't know how cunning he is.
He's waking up, Laura.
Oh, what does he look like? I'm afraid of him.
Morning.
Last.
How are you feeling?
Oh, bad.
Well, hadn't you better have the doctor?
No. I want to see my daughter, Judith.
Don't you think you ought to set your affairs in order before... Well... Just in case anything happens.
What do you mean? What could happen?
What can happen to any of us?
I'm not so easy to kill, don't you think it?
You can't rejoice yet, Alice.
You must make a will, Edgar. You've your children to think of. And you should see that your wife keeps, well, at least the furniture.
She can't inherit while I'm alive, can she?
No, but if anything happens, she oughtn't to be turned out into the street. One who's dusted and polished and cared for these things for 25 years has some right to them. Now, let me send for your solicitor.
No.
You're a hard man, Edgar. Even harder than I thought you were.
It's coming on again.
I think there's someone in the kitchen. I'd better go and see.
Yes, go along. There's nothing you can do here. You hungry?
Yes, I am.
Well, could you manage something very light?
No. I want something worth eating.
I'll be all up with you if you do.
Isn't it bad enough for a man to be ill? You've got to starve as well.
That's how it is.
No drinking. No smoking. Life isn't worth much.
But death demands sacrifices, or he comes at once.
These are for you.
Me?
Flowers, telegrams, letters.
Oh, all for me. Let me have a look.
No, they're only from the NCOs and the bandsmen and the gunners.
Yeah, jealous.
There were laurel wreaths, perhaps, but they're not things you're ever likely to get.
A telegram from the colonel. I read it for me, Kurt. Colonel's at least a gentleman, even if he is a bit of an idiot. Oh, there's another. I can't see you now. I can't. Oh, it's from Judith. Yes, and will you please send a telegram to her to come by the next boat? And here's another. No, it's easy. Well, isn't utterly friendless after all. It's very decent of them to remember a sick man whose rank may not be what he deserves, but who's always been fearless and strictly honourable.
I don't quite see the point. Are they congratulating you because you're ill?
Hyena.
Judith says that she can't come because the steamer's held up by the gale.
What? Is that all?
There's a bit more.
Well, come on, then. Open it, Colonel. Let's have it.
Well, she asks her father not to drink so much.
That's children all over. That's my only beloved daughter, my Judith. My idol.
And your image.
And that's life's crowning blessing.
Now you're reaping as you've sown. You set her against her mother, and now she turns against her father. Now tell me there isn't a God.
What about the Colonel's telegram, good?
He says you're relieved of all duties, that's all.
Of duty? But I'd never put in for that.
No, but I did.
Did you? Did you? Well, I won't accept it.
But it's up in orders.
That's no concern of mine.
There you are, Kurt. There's a man for whom little things like law and order simply don't exist. He's above everything and everybody. The poor little captain who's never managed to be a major. This misery who's afraid of the dark and believes in barometers. And all to be a barrow full of manure. And not the best quality at that.
She's angry with me for not dying yesterday.
No, for not dying 25 years ago. For not dying before I was born.
Hey, just listen to her. That's what happens, my dear Kurt, when you engineer a marriage. Wasn't made in heaven, that's very clear. Anyway, I'm going on duty.
But you can't.
My helmet.
Take
your hands off me, Kurt. My saber.
You're not going out.
Be reasonable.
No. If anybody wants me, I'm at the battery. Get out of the light.
All right, go on. Sarah. Beat a retreat and leave your wife to cover it just as you always do when things get too much for you.
Sarah.
You drunken boaster. You liar. Oh, how I hate him.
It's incredible.
You don't know everything.
What more is there?
You may well ask. He's going down to thank the NCOs for the flowers, and he'll stay with them, and he'll eat and drink with them, and then he'll run down his brother officers.
Alice, it was really he, wasn't it, who got me deprived of the custody of the children?
Well, since it's all over, yes, it was.
I suspected as much, and I could never be sure. So it was he.
If you remember, you so completely trusted him that you actually sent him to your wife to try and patch things up. Well, he made love to her instead and showed her how to play her cards so as to keep the children.
Good God.
That's yet another side of him, you see.
I think I'd better tell you something. Last night, when he thought he was dying, he got me to promise that I'd look after his children.
But you could never avenge yourself on my children.
Only by keeping my promise. I shall look after your children.
Oh, you could take no greater revenge. If there's one thing he hates, it's generosity.
In that case, I've had my revenge. Without taking...
I love to see revenge in the role of justice, and I delight in seeing evil get its punishment.
Oh, you're still at that stage.
I always shall be. I should be a hypocrite if I ever forgave or loved my enemies. Oh, curse what I've had to suffer unfairly for this man whom I never loved.
Why did you marry?
Goodness knows, because he took me, or seduced me, I don't know. In any case, I have social ambitions.
You gave up your career.
Which he so despised. But he cheated me, you know. He dazzled me with visions of a happy life and a beautiful home. But all I found was a bundle of debts. The only gold was on his uniform, and that wasn't real. Oh, yes, he cheated me.
Not necessarily. When a young man falls in love, he always takes a rosy view of the future. And if his hopes aren't always realized, it's forgivable. What are you looking at?
I couldn't help wondering if he had fallen down.
Has he?
No such luck. He's still cheating me.
I may as well have a word with the doctor, and then see if I can get hold of the solicitor.
Yes, Kurt, dear, do that. I shall sit here and wait. I've learned how to wait.
Good.
Oh, good afternoon.
The Stevens in?
He's on it.
What's he been doing in the town?
He went off in full uniform. That means he was seeing the colonel. And I should think he was going on to pay some calls.
Did you notice how subdued he was yesterday? He's a very different man these last 2 days, since he stopped drinking. Calm, reserved, considerate.
Now, don't make that mistake. He's up to mischief. And don't believe a word he says. He's a most calculating liar. And when it comes to intrigue, he's a genius.
Alice, your hair. Has it gone grey in 2 days?
No, Kurt. It's just that I've stopped darkening it, that's all. My husband is practically dead. 25 years in prison. This was a prison once, you know.
A prison, yes.
Even the children's faces got a sort of prison pallor here.
Somehow I can't imagine children romping in this place.
It wasn't very much romping. I shall always think the two I lost died simply for want of light.
What do you think will happen now?
He'll strike at us. When you read out Judith's telegram the other day, I recognized the gleam in his eye. It should have been for her, but she, as you know, is perfect. So he hated you instead.
But what do you think he can do?
You can never tell. But he's amazingly clever at nosing out other people's secrets. And yesterday, didn't you notice, he simply lived in your quarantine station all day long, squeezing every drop of interest out of your life. And then your children. He positively ate them alive. Oh, I know him so well. He's a spiritual cannibal. And now that his life is ending, or ended...
In some ways, it's almost as if he'd left the world already. There's a look of death about him. And there he is. Tell me, has it struck you that he might be jealous?
No, he's much too conceited. Show me the man whom I need to be jealous of. That's what he says.
Well, so much the better. In that case, there's something to be said for his faults. I'll go and meet him, shall I?
No, don't try to be polite or you'll make him suspicious. And if he starts lying, pretend to believe him. I can translate his lies by this time. Oh, but Kurt, I feel as if something dreadful were going to happen. If it does, you must keep your head. Keeping mine has been the only advantage I ever had over him. His whiskey gave me that. Oh, he's here. Now we shall see.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, you mind sitting down like this? Good afternoon. I'm a little tired.
Welcome home. Aren't you well?
Perfectly. Just a little tired, that's all.
Any news in town?
Nothing in particular. Among other things, I went to see the doctor. He says it's nothing. If I only take care of myself, I shall last another 20 years.
He's lying. Well, that's wonderful, dear.
Well, Kurt.
Now watch him.
I was in town, as you know.
Yes?
I came across several people. One of them was a young cadet in the artillery.
Yeah, artillery?
Well, as our cadets on the island are under strength, I arranged with the colonel when to be posted here. This should afford you considerable satisfaction. Especially when I tell you the cadet is your own son.
There's a vampire for you.
To any other father, that would normally be good news. To me, it's merely painful.
I don't wish it.
Well, I must tell you that the young man has been posted here and will henceforth be under my orders.
Well, then I shall see to it that he applies for immediate transfer.
You can't do that. Unfortunately, you lost your parental rights. The court awarded them to the mother.
Well, then I shall get into touch with the mother.
No need to do that. I've already done so.
Oh, surely he'll die. Yes, a cannibal.
No, no matter that. Did you say something?
No. Aren't you hearing properly?
Not altogether. Come over here, will you? I want to speak to you privately.
That's quite unnecessary. And a witness may be an advantage to both sides.
Oh, I quite agree. A witness is often worth having. And first of all, what about that will? Did you get it?
It's here. The solicitor drew it up himself.
Oh, here, miss, here. In your favor, eh? That's splendid, splendid, splendid. Let me see. Hmm? Well, now. And so much for that.
Was there ever such a man?
Not a man.
Now then, Alice, this is what I have to say to you.
Well, go on.
Because of your undisguised aversion for prolonging the misery of our married life, and bearing in mind your obvious lack of all feeling in your treatment of your husband and children, and taking into account your confirmed distaste for any kind of method in conducting the household economy, I made it my business in town this morning to file my petition for divorce with the district court.
Really? And on what grounds?
Oh, apart from those I've already mentioned, I have some quite personal grounds. In particular, the advice that I may live another 20 years allows me to entertain the notion of renouncing my present unhappy marriage in favor of one that suits me better, and of sharing my lot with that of some woman who will not only show a little devotion to her husband, but bring into the house a little youth. And, shall I say, a little beauty?
Just as you like. In that case, you'd better have your wedding ring back.
Ah. She throws away her ring. Will the witness kindly take note?
And you mean to turn me out of my own house so that you can put another woman in my place? Oh, very well, then. The time has come for me to do a little plain speaking. Cousin Kurt, that man is guilty of attempting to murder his wife.
Murder?
Yes, he tried to drive
her. Without witnesses?
He's lying. Judith saw it.
Well, what of that?
She can bear witness to it.
No, she can't. She says she didn't see anything.
You've taught her to lie.
That wasn't necessary. You'd already done that.
You've seen Judith. Oh, God.
The fortress has surrendered, and the enemy is granted 10 minutes in which to leave under safe conduct. Now, I placed my watch on the table. So, 10 minutes.
What's the matter?
I don't know.
Shall I get you something? You'd better have a drink, haven't you? I'll get you some whiskey.
Whiskey? No. Oh, no whiskey. I don't want to die. You. Don't you touch me! 10 minutes, remember? Or the garrison will be put to the sword. 10 minutes!
What is this man?
He's not a man. He's a devil.
What does he want with my boy?
He wants him as a hostage so that he can get a hold over you. And he wants to isolate you from the people that matter here. Did you know that all round here they call this island Little Hell?
No, I certainly didn't. Alice, you're the first woman who ever made me feel sorry for her. All the others seem to me to deserve what they got.
You won't go away, Kurt, will you? You won't leave me. He'll only beat me if you do. He's always beaten me, even in front of the children. And he tried to drown me, pushing me into the sea.
I am against him now. When I came here, I bore him not the slightest ill will. Even when you told me it was really he who lost me my children, I forgave him because he was sick and seemed to be dying. But now that he's going to take my son, he has to die. Or I am.
Good! The fortress won't surrender. We'll blow it up and him with it, ourselves too, if need be. And I know how, tactics I learnt from him. Drum up his enemies and recruit our own allies from among them.
Get hold of my wife like that? Who's his most confirmed enemy on the island?
The quartermaster.
Well, just what sort of a man is he, honest?
Yes, he is. Besides, he knows something I know too. He knows all about a certain little business arrangement between the sergeant major and the captain.
Business arrangement? But you don't.
Embezzlement.
I see. No, I won't stir up that sort of mud.
And you'll stand by and wait while he steals your son. Look, look at my grey hair. Feel it. Feel how thick it is still. He's going to marry again. Then I shall be free to do the same. I'm free. In 10 minutes, he'll be under arrest down below here. Right under our feet. And I shall dance overhead. I shall dance the entry of the boyards. And I shall play the piano loud enough for him to hear. Ha ha! Ah, yes! The gates of the tower will open. And the sentry with a drawn sword won't be guarding me, but him I need. Him.
Alice, are you a devil too?
These go with me, these laurel wreaths. For years they've hung over my picture. See, laurels for triumph and fluttering ribbons. Oh, a little dusty, but unfading like my youth. I'm not old, Kurt.
You little devil.
In little hell. Now listen, I shall do my hair, then dress, 2 minutes. Then go to the quartermaster, 2 minutes. Then up goes the fortress.
You are a devil.
That's what you used to say when we were children. Do you remember? When we were quite tiny, we were sweethearts, and you were shy.
Alice.
Oh, yes, you were. And it suited you. Did you know that there are coarse women who like shy men? And even, perhaps, shy men who like coarse women? You liked me just a little then, didn't you?
I don't know where I am.
With an actress whose manners are free, but who's also quite a nice creature. Yes, yes, but now I'm free. Free! I'm free! Turn your back for a minute. I must change my blouse.
Alice.
Good.
Alice. You devil.
Oh, no. Good. Kurt.
No.
Kurt.
No. No, no, no!
Six witnesses to the embezzlement, and four of them firm as a rock. The information has been laid, and they're going to telegraph the result to us here, right in the fortress.
Yes, that's he.
Well, you should say thank you, not I see.
What's he been up to in here?
Papers scattered everywhere. Cigars, trampled glass, whiskey bottles, match. Look, his spectacles.
Really?
It looks as if he's moving out.
But isn't it your portrait torn to shreds? And the laurel wreath?
Down below, my friend. That's where you'll move to.
Well, Alice, please. After all, when we were boys together, he helped me many times.
And what about me? Aren't I to be pitied? I've done nothing wrong, and I've had to sacrifice my career to that monster.
Was it so very brilliant?
What did you say? Don't you know who I am? What I've been?
Oh, Alice.
Are you too beginning already?
Already?
Oh, Kurt. Come here,
Alice. Alice.
Oh, well, you're biting me.
Yes, I want to bite you. Bite your neck, suck your blood like a lynx. For years I've tortured myself, trying to destroy the animal in me, and I thought I had, but you roused it. I came here thinking myself a bit better than either of you, but now I'm worse. I've seen clearly enough how vile you really are, only to have my vision of everything else distorted by passion. The ugly has become beautiful, the good has become ugly and insipid. I've felt the full power of evil. Come here, and I'll choke you with a kiss.
Oh, God. I was in bondage. You set me free.
But I'm going to bite you.
You?
Me.
And I thought for a moment you were...
Pious?
Yes, talking about the fall like that.
Did I?
And I thought you'd come here to preach.
Is that what you thought? In an hour we shall be in the town, then you'll see what I'm really like.
And this evening we'll go to the theatre and show ourselves. Because if I leave him, the shame will be his. His! Don't you see?
I begin to see. Sending him to prison isn't enough.
No, it's not.
It's an odd world. You commit the shameful act, and the shame of it is his.
Well, if the world's so stupid.
Perhaps it's in the air we breathe. These old prison walls must be steeped in shame. And in all this, you were thinking of the theatre and supper, I suppose. I was thinking of my son, and you...
Oh!
You...
Oh, no. You shall not hit me back.
Oh, forgive me.
Yes. On your knees.
Oh.
On your face. Kiss my foot.
And never, never do it again. Now, get up.
Oh, what have I come to? Where am I?
You know well enough.
I could almost believe...
Can I have a word with you, Kurt? Alone?
About a safe conduct, I suppose.
If you wouldn't mind leaving us here for a few minutes. Alice, would you mind leaving us in peace?
What's this then, a parley? Oh, yes, Kurt. Won't you take a seat and drink in the wisdom of old age? But if a telegram starts coming in, call me.
Sit down, Kurt. Can you account for a fate like mine? Like ours?
No more than I can account for my own.
And what is the meaning of all this muddle we call life?
Well, in my better moments, I've sometimes thought that we have to accept life whilst aware that its meaning can't be found and submit to that.
Tell me, where did you get this resignation of yours?
Oh, I haven't any yet. Don't overrate me.
As you've probably noticed, my recipe for the art of living has been elimination, which means cross out and pass on. Quite early in life, I made myself a bag and I regularly crammed my humiliations into it. When it was full, I slung it into the sea. I don't believe any man has had to suffer so many humiliations as I have. But when I crossed them out and passed on, they ceased to exist.
Oh, is it troubling you?
Yes, it's bad. You see, when I saw the doctor in town this morning, he said I was done for. I couldn't expect to live much longer.
That what he said.
Yes.
Then it wasn't true.
What? But, oh, you mean about my health? No, that wasn't true.
Well, what about all the rest? Was that true? About my son's being posted here?
I've heard nothing of it.
Well, perhaps you never applied for that divorce which was to disgrace your wife.
Divorce? No, I heard nothing of that.
But then you admit you were lying all the time.
You put it rather strongly, my friend. We all need a little forbearance. Forgive me. Forgive me for everything.
Willingly, Edgar. But I'm nothing to forgive, and anyhow, I'm not the man you think me, not any longer. And I'm certainly not fit to hear your confessions. Can this thing be disconnected?
Well, the telegraph? No. The line has to be kept open.
But tell me, who is Sergeant Major Osberg?
Oh, he's an honest sort of chap. Bit of an opportunist, perhaps.
And the quartermaster?
He's one of my enemies, I fancy, but I've nothing against him.
What are you doing with a lantern out on the battery? Yes, there seem to be several men moving about.
Well, it might be anything. Possibly an escort. And some poor devil to be locked up, I dare say.
Oh, I see.
Well, now that you've got to know Alice again, what do you think of her?
It's hard to say. To me, she's as incomprehensible as you are. Or as I am to myself. Tell me, why did you push her into the sea?
I don't know. It simply came into my mind. We stood there on the jetty. That she could be pushed in.
And you've never regretted it?
No.
Haven't you ever expected her to take some sort of revenge?
Well, it seems to me that she's done so very thoroughly. It's only natural. Have you had to judge between Alice and me? Whom would you say was in the right?
Neither of you. But I'm genuinely sorry for both of you. Slightly more sorry for you.
Ah, Kurt, would you care to shake hands with me?
No, Edgar. My old friend.
Dear me, how friendly. Oh, very friendly. Hasn't anything come in on the telegraph yet?
No.
Well, I'm getting impatient, and when I'm impatient, I speed things up. Look, Kurt, I take aim with my parasol, and with one shot, I finish him off. Fire. And how's your new and beautiful wife, the quite unknown one? Don't you know? I know how my lover is. Don't I, Kurt? I have only to kiss him.
Alice, please.
He's very well. But still a little shy, of
course. You miserable wretch. No. I never loved you. You who were too conceited to be jealous. You can't even see how I'm leading you by the nose.
You... My sabers!
What are you doing?
You!
Away.
You!
Help!
Judith! Judith! Avenge me! Judith! Avenge me!
At last, he's dying.
Not yet. Judith!
Now I'm going with you, Kurt.
No, Alice, you're not. You made your own hell. You better stay in it. I've finished. Goodbye.
Don't go away, Kurt. She'll kill me.
Kurt, don't leave me. You mustn't leave
Goodbye.
Us.
Goodbye.
What a perfect brute. There's a friend for you.
Forgive me, Alice, and come here, quickly.
He's the meanest and most detestable hypocrite I've ever come across in my life. You're at least a man.
Listen, Alice, I haven't much longer to live.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's what the doctor told me.
Was all the rest untrue, then?
Yes.
Oh, what have I done?
Nothing that can't be altered.
If you cross out, pass on.
Why did you have to tell lies? And why did that man have to come here and tempt me? This is the end. And a little humanity from you might still have altered everything, forgiven everything.
I know your talent for making trouble, but I can't imagine...
Oh, if only I could get out of it. I'd take care of you. I would love you, Edgar.
Oh. Just listen to this. Where am I?
You needn't think anyone can help us. Nobody on earth can do that.
Who can, then?
I don't know. But think of the children. What's to become of them with a dishonored name?
Why, have you dishonored the name?
No, I haven't. They'll have to leave school. And they'll go out into the world as lonely as we are and as heartless. I take it you didn't see Judith either.
No. Didn't see Judith. But cast that out.
Not now. No. No, not now. Don't listen.
I'm not intentionally listening, my dear. Don't upset yourself.
Don't listen. Don't listen.
All right, Alice. Look. I'm putting my hands over my ears.
God help us. Oh, God. Oh, God in heaven. God help us. Oh. Thank God. Oh. It's all over now. Edgar? It wasn't anything.
Hmm. Well, Alice, what is your secret?
Don't ask me that. It's all over now.
Oh, well, just as you wish.
You wouldn't have spoken to me like that 3 days ago. What's happened?
Well, do you know, my love, when I had that first attack, I think I passed beyond the grave. I don't remember what I saw there, but the impression is still with me.
What kind of impression?
Of hope. Hope for something better.
Something better?
Yeah. I never could bring myself to believe that this was the real life. No? This is death. Or something even worse.
And we...
We're all probably put here to torment one another. That's what it looks like.
Haven't we tormented each other enough?
I shouldn't wonder. Yeah, now look. And we've made a lot of mess, too, haven't we? Through this room. I suppose we've... Try and tidy that up, And everything, have a sort of spring cleaning.
Yes, if we can.
Can't be done in one day, you know, that's very certain.
In two, then? Many days?
Let's hope so. So you didn't manage to get free this time. Then you didn't manage to get me locked up either.
What?
Oh, yes, I knew you wanted to land me in jail. But I crossed that out. And I dare say that's not the worst thing you've done. And you know, I was innocent of that embezzlement.
And now I'm expected to be your nurse. Is that it?
Yeah, if you would.
Ah, what else can I do?
I don't know yet.
These everlasting torments. Is there never to be an end of them?
Yes, if we have patience. Life perhaps really begins when death comes.
If only we could be sure of that.
So you think Kurt a hypocrite?
Of course I do.
I don't.
Everyone who makes friends with us turns evil and goes his own way again. Kurt was weak. Evil is strong. Well, I suppose life returns to normal. Instead of coming to blows, we shall be content with shaking our fists at each other. And I wouldn't mind betting that 3 months from now we shall be celebrating our silver wedding with Kurt as best man and the doctor and Gera among the guests. And a quartermaster will propose the toast and the sergeant major will lead the cheers. And if I know the colonel, he'll invite himself. Yes, you can laugh. But do you remember that fellow Adolf in the Mounted Rifles? Do you remember at his silver wedding, his wife had to wear the ring on her right hand because her husband, in one of his more affectionate moments, had hacked off her ring finger with his sword. Oh. You're not crying. No, I believe you're laughing. Yes, go on, Ellis, laugh. We laugh or we cry. Don't ask me which is right. Do you know, I was reading in the paper the other day about a man who had been divorced 7 times. And then at the age of 98, he eloped with his first wife and married her again. Such is love. Well, whether life is serious or just a joke, I've never been able to discover. It's often most painful as a joke. Serious, it can be pleasant and peaceful. And just when you begin to take it seriously, somebody comes along and turns you back into a joke. Kurt, for instance, eh? Shall we have our silver wedding? Come along. Come along, yes. Say yes. Yes, they laugh at us, you know, but what does it matter? We'll keep serious if we feel inclined, or we'll laugh with them. Yeah?
All right, then.
Silver wedding. Good. Cross out and pass on. Well, now let us pass on, eh?
Judith, I've got such an awful lot to do.
Oh, but didn't you see that I left my bike pointing towards you?
Yes, I did.
Well, what does it mean?
That you want me to come and play tennis. But I've got all this work. Your father's given me a lot of problems to do.
Do you like him?
As a matter of fact, I do. He seems to take such an interest in everyone.
Well, aren't you coming, then?
Well, don't see how I can.
Oh, I'll get Daddy to let you off.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't do that. I shall never hear the last of it.
Don't you think I can manage him, then? Look, if I want a thing, he'll want me to have it.
It's only because you're so beastly hard.
It wouldn't hurt you to be a bit harder, anyhow. And now tell me the real reason why you won't come and play tennis.
You know why.
Never mind. Say it. The lieutenant.
Yes. You don't care tuppence about me, but you can't really enjoy yourself with the lieutenant unless you've got me there, too. So that you can enjoy seeing how miserable it makes me.
Am I as cruel as all that? Fancy, and I never knew it.
Well, you know it now.
Then I must study to improve. I don't want you to think badly of me.
You've already got the other fellow into your clutches. What do you want me for? Let me go my own way and you go yours.
Are you actually ordering me out? All right, then I'll go. Of course, as second cousins, I suppose it can hardly help meeting socially, but I shouldn't dream of bothering you. Oh, you needn't worry. I'm going. I'm going at once. I only want to see what sort of style a quarantine officer keeps. I can go. Grand piano. Ooh. Daddy's got his pension, but we're still in the old fort. The awful old tower that Mummy's languished in for 25 years. And now we're there on sufferance into the bargain. You must be quite rich.
We aren't rich.
That's what you say, but you always wear nice clothes. So whatever you wear, you look nice. Do you hear what I say?
I do.
How can you possibly hear when you keep on stodging away at your ridiculous problems or whatever they are?
Don't use my eyes to listen with.
Your eyes? Have you ever really looked at them? In the glass, I mean.
Oh, go away.
You despise me, do you?
My dear child, I haven't a thought in my head about you.
Archimedes doing his homework. Along came a soldier and cut him down.
Oh, don't muck up my papers.
That's just what Archimedes said. You've probably got the absurd idea that I can't live without you.
Why can't you leave me alone?
You must be polite. And then perhaps I'll help you with your exams. I know all the examiners.
Supposing you do.
Well, you always want to stand well with your teachers, don't you?
You mean your father and the lieutenant?
And the colonel.
In other words, under your wing, I wouldn't have to work. Why don't you go?
Because I know how much you love having me with you.
Young girl shouldn't say that sort of thing.
And that's why I'm going to take care of you.
Nice sort of shepherd a wolf makes. The real truth of it is, you want to eat me. You want to pour those beautiful eyes of yours against my head on a plate.
Oh, so you have looked at my eyes. I never thought you had the courage.
I'm going next door to work. I'll never get any peace here.
No?
Get out of my way or I'll...
What?
If you were a boy, I'd... But you're not. You're a girl. If you had any pride at all, you wouldn't be here now, after being told you weren't wanted.
Oh, I'll pay you out for that.
Don't doubt it.
I'll pay you out for that. You see if I don't. You wait. You just wait.
Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Dad.
What's that going off in such a beautiful house?
Judith.
She's a bit wild, but she's a nice girl.
When a girl's cruel and rude, people always say she's nice.
You mustn't be too hard on people, Alan. Don't you approve of your new relations?
I like Uncle Edgar, all right.
Yes, he has excellent qualities. And what about your other teachers, the lieutenant, for instance?
I never know where I am with him. Sometimes I feel as if he got a down on me.
Ah, nonsense, Alan. You're always getting ideas about people. You brood over things too much. You're quite happy here with me. Anything you miss?
Oh, I've never had such a good time, but I feel stifled.
I think you spend far too much indoors, my lad. You should get out more. Play tennis.
That's not much fun.
So that's it. You've fallen out with Judith.
Judith?
You expect too much of people, Alan. That's a mistake. You end by being lonely.
I don't expect too much, but...
Well, there's your Aunt Alice coming along the terrace. How do you like her?
I'd rather not say.
Oh. Well, then I shan't ask you.
Good morning, Kurt.
Alice! Yes, all right. Alan, you can clear off now.
Yes, Dad. You needn't feel embarrassed at my coming in like this. He'll be here at any moment.
But why should I feel embarrassed?
When I saw in you my rescuer, I did rather forget myself, didn't I? But you kept your self-control, and so we are perfectly entitled to forget what never happened.
Let it be forgotten, then.
I don't think he's forgotten. Since he gave up drinking, he's learned how to say nothing. It's frightening. What's more, he's up to something, and I can't find out what it is.
Oh, my dear Alice, your husband's nothing worse than a harmless fool, and he's shown me considerable kindness.
But do you mean to say you don't even notice the traps he's set for you?
No.
Well, then nothing can save
you. Oh, really, Alice?
And to think that I have to sit here and watch disaster creeping up to you like a cat, and when I point it out to you, you can't see it.
No, and Alan's sharp eyes can't see it either. However, he sees nothing but Judith, and that ought to safeguard our good relations.
Do you know Judith?
She's a coquettish little creature, still with a pigtail down her back and short skirt.
Exactly. But the other day I saw her in long skirts, and then she was very much the young lady, and not so very young either when she put her hair up.
She's beginning to fill out very nicely.
And she's playing with Alan.
Well, that's all right, so long as it's no more than that.
Oh. I see. Well, Edgar should be here by now. You see if he doesn't make straight for your easy chair. He's so passionately fond of it that he could steal it.
Well, if he likes it all that much, he can have it.
Anyhow, let him sit there, and we'll stay here. I warn you, he'll monopolize the conversation, but his small talk can be anything but trivial, and I'll soon tell you what he's getting at.
Oh, my dear Alice, you're being oversubtle. Now, what on earth have I got to be afraid of, so long as I run the quarantine properly?
He's coming now.
Alice, I've never seen you so nervous. You'll be making me nervous in a minute.
Here he is.
Good morning.
Let him speak first.
Morning.
Good morning. That's better. You know, Kurt, this is a remarkably comfortable chair of yours. It really is a remarkably comfortable chair.
I'd very much like you to have it, Edgar. I wish you'd let me give it to you.
Oh, my dear fellow, I didn't for
one moment. No, I'd like you to. You've done a lot for me.
Oh, nonsense. Sitting here, I get a remarkably fine view as well. Yes, you certainly picked the best spot on the island. What do you say, Alice? They call it Little Hell, and Kurt comes along and makes himself a little paradise. Very wisely without the Eve, because after she came, paradise was closed down. Incidentally, this place was once a royal hunting lodge. Did you know that?
Yes, somebody did tell me, I think.
Yes. You live like a lord, don't you? And though I say who shouldn't, you know, you have me to thank for it.
See that? You belong to him now.
I have to thank you for quite a lot.
Oh, fiddlesticks. Funny thing, you know, but When they decided to have quarantine here, I had half a mind to put in for the job myself. I even went so far as to study the existing methods.
He's lying.
And let me tell you, I very soon found myself in complete disagreement with the out-of-date method of disinfecting prescribed by the government.
Oh, no, no, I beg your pardon.
Are you two going to quarrel?
Not a bit of it.
It's very difficult not to quarrel on this island.
Yes, I quite agree. It's curious. When I got here, I quickly made friends with all the officials and with the adjutant, and then quite suddenly, it wasn't long after your recovery, I found them treating me with unmistakable coolness. And yesterday on the promenade, the adjutant deliberately avoided me.
Oh?
It was rather a shock. You haven't, I suppose, experienced anything of the kind yourself.
No, 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 no. Quite the contrary, in fact.
Can't you understand? He's stealing your friends.
Well, I wondered whether my refusal to subscribe to that new issue of shares for the soda factory had anything to do with it.
What? Oh, no, no, I shouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so for a moment. But by the way, though, why didn't you subscribe?
Well, because on your recommendation, I'd already invested all my savings into the old stock.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Is this today's paper? Hmm? Hello, what is an obituary? Oh, dear, the medical officer of health is dead.
Oh, how can he benefit?
This is bound to entail certain changes.
In what way?
That remains to be seen.
Where are you going?
I think I'd better go into the town.
I
beg your pardon. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to mind to somewhere else, I'm afraid.
That's quite all right.
By the way, where is Alan?
He's out with the girls, I think.
What, a big chap like that? Don't like that. And Julius shouldn't be running about like this either, you know. You better keep an eye on your young gentleman. I'll look after my young lady. Oh, a beautiful grand piano. Very fine tone. Yes, you're doing yourself pretty well here. You ought to thank me for bringing you.
That's a lie. He tried to keep you out.
Well, goodbye for the present. I must catch the next boat across. Goodbye.
Well? I don't know, Kurt. I can't make head or tail of it yet. But tell me, that letter he picked up, whom was it from?
Well, I'm sorry to say it was the only thing I wanted to keep to myself.
Trust Timden knows it out. Is there anything printed on the envelope?
Yes. Yeah. The Liberal Association.
Then he's guessed your secret. So you want to get into Parliament. Well, now you'll see him there instead.
Has he never thought of it before?
No, but he's thinking of it now. I could see that when he was looking at the envelope.
Hmm. What exactly does he hope to gain by the death of the medical officer?
It's difficult to say. For all I know, the man was an enemy who stood in the way of one of Edgar's little plans.
Well, if he's as formidable as you say, then perhaps there's some reason to fear him.
Do you know what a vampire is? It's the soul of a dead man looking for a body in which to live. And Edgar's dead. He died that time he fell down. Now he exists wholly in the lives of others. Apart from them, he has no initiative, no personality. But once he takes hold of somebody, he just enters into them and thrives. He's now fastened himself onto you.
Now shake him off.
You might just as well try to shake off a burr. Shall I tell you why he won't have Judith and Alan playing tennis together?
He probably thinks it unwise for them to see too much of each other.
Don't you believe it? He wants to marry Judith to the colonel.
That old widower?
Yes.
But that's horrible. And what about Judith?
And if she could get the general, who's 80, she'd take him so that she could humiliate the colonel, who's 60.
Oh.
Humiliating people, that's what she likes. Humiliate, trample, that's the motto of that family. Do you mind if I write a letter?
No, not at all. By all means, do. There's paper and ink here on the desk.
Thank you. Now, let me try my hand at the art of war. My last attempt to slay my dragon ended in failure.
I'll leave you then.
But now, I rather think I know the trick. Alan.
I didn't know you were there.
You mustn't be afraid of me, Alan. I'm not in the least your enemy, you know. Now, what's the matter? Are you ill?
I don't know.
Does your head ache?
No.
It's a feeling in your heart, isn't it? Like pain.
Oh, yes.
Like nothing you've ever felt before.
How do you know?
Well, of course I know. You want to die. You wish you were dead. And everything seems so impossible. And yet you can't stop thinking of one thing, or rather one person, even for a moment, and you can't think of anything else. But when there are two of you thinking like that, at least one of you must suffer. It's a malady no one can cure. You can't eat or drink. You can only shed tears, privately, bitterly. For it's a kind of unhappiness at which people laugh. No, no, now, give me that handkerchief. Violet, yes. Hers. She's everywhere, isn't she? Poor Alan. Oh, poor boy. I know how it hurts. Just let me dry your eyes. There. Tears are nothing to be ashamed of. Now then, Alan, come along. You just pull yourself together. Be a man. She won't look at you if you're not, you know. And she's not really as cruel as she seems. She's been maddening you with the lieutenant, hasn't she? Well, now, do you know what you must do? You must make friends with the lieutenant, and then the two of you can talk about her. That's a relief, too, sometimes.
I don't want to see the lieutenant.
Don't be silly. I'm quite sure it won't be long before the lieutenant comes to you as someone he can talk to about her. Because, well, shall I be nice and tell you? He's every bit as unhappy as you are.
What? Doesn't she want the lieutenant, then?
My dear boy, she doesn't want you either. She wants the colonel. Oh, there. Is it going to rain again? Well, you won't get the handkerchief this time. Judith's very particular about her belongings, and she likes her dozen to be 12. Yes, Judith's like that. And now, since you've already interrupted my letter writing, I may as well seize the opportunity to scribble a note which you can deliver for me. Excuse me for a moment.
I say, don't stand up. Please sit down. Do you mind if I sit down, too? Oh, I say, I...
No, please, sit down.
I beg your pardon, ma'am. I assure you,
no,
I
that's quite all right, Lieutenant. I'm only just scribbling a note. Do sit down and talk to the cadet. He's still finding it a bit lonely here on the island, I fancy.
Frightfully hot, isn't it?
Yes, frightfully.
You, got the end of book six yet?
Just on the last proposition.
Well, that's a snorter, that one. Have you managed to get a game of tennis today?
No, it's too hot in the sun.
Yes, it's frightfully hot.
Yes, very hot.
You've been out for a sail today?
No, I couldn't get anybody to look after the gym.
Well, do you think there'd be enough wind just after lunch, say? That's about the only time I'm free.
It's often dead calm about that time. And that's the time Miss Judith has her lesson, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, that is the case. Well, do you think that perhaps...
Would either of you young gentlemen like to be very nice and take a note for me to Judith?
Of course. Yes.
Both of you? Well, it's then you'll get there safely. Well, there you are then, Lieutenant. And for goodness sake, try to hide your feelings a bit. Now run along.
Very, very good, ma'am.
Oh, Alan.
Yes, sir?
I should stay here, unless you want to hurt yourself more than you can bear.
But he's going.
Let him burn his fingers, and you take care of yourself.
I don't want to take care of myself. I must go.
Well, go along then, you young lunatic. But don't be surprised if I laugh at you when you come back.
I must go. Then I must.
Well, now, where was I? Yes, now I'm going to the post office with this letter.
No, you can't.
You're simply being rude because now you think I'm running after you.
I'm not being anything of the sort. I just don't want to be disturbed, that's all.
You think I'm completely heartless, don't you?
No. You can be quite nice when you like.
Well, but how can I help it if you and the lieutenant run off and cry? Yes, and why do you cry? Do tell me, because I never cry. And another thing, how is it that you and he are such great friends all of a sudden? And what do you find to say to each other when you're going about arm in arm? Well, Alan, you'll soon see the real me and whether I can stick up for someone I like. And now let me give you a piece of advice. Though I don't feel repeating things, you must be on your guard.
What for?
Trouble.
Where from?
From where you least expect it.
Well, I'm quite accustomed to bad luck by now. My life hasn't been very happy, you know. What is it this time?
Oh, poor boy. Give me your hand. That's it. Look at me. You daren't look at me.
Let me go. Let me go.
Alan.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Miss Judith. I thought that the death was in.
Lieutenant, will you be my friend and do something for me?
No, you've only just said.
Oh, good. Well, it's simply this. Don't desert Alan when something dreadful happens to him.
Something dreadful?
But what?
Never mind. You'll see today, perhaps. Do you like Alan?
Oh, that young fellow's not only my best pupil, but actually I have the highest regard for his strength of character. By Jove, I have. Life is so full of occasions when one's called upon to face things, you know, in a word, to suffer, to bear pain.
Well, that's not exactly in one word, but still, you do like Alan.
Oh, yes, yes, I do.
Then go and find him and be nice to him.
Well, that's exactly what I came here to do, I assure you. Simply to see Alan, I mean. That was the whole idea. No other idea at all.
I'm quite sure there wasn't. Alan went that way.
That way? Oh, yes, yes, of course. Well, then I think I'll go and see about it.
Yes. Please do.
Judith, what are you doing here?
Borrowing a spanner.
Well, Stan, listen to me for a moment, will you?
Yes, of course I will, but don't spin it out. I can't stand long lectures.
Long lectures. Very well, then. Put your hair up and put on a long skirt.
Why?
Because you're no longer a child. You're of marriageable age, and therefore the way you dress is getting you talked about.
Oh, then that settles it.
Then you have understood?
Oh, yes.
Then we're agreed.
Completely.
On all points?
Even the most delicate.
And will you, at the same time, stop playing with Alan?
Then all this is to be serious.
Yes.
And then we may as well begin at once. Put up my hair. Hairpin, please.
One doesn't usually do that sort of thing in a strange house, you know.
There. Let down my cycling skirt. All right, like this.
Well, at least you look respectable.
Then I'm ready. Now let them all come.
And from now on, leave Alan in peace.
I don't really know what you mean.
Can't you see that he's suffering?
Oh, yes, in a way, but I can't see why he should. I mean, after all, I don't.
I know you don't. That's your strength. But one of these days, you'll discover what it means. Now, run along home.
Oh.
Don't forget you're wearing a long skirt.
Oh, but I feel as if my feet were tied up. I'm all muffled up. I shall never be able to stand
it. Oh, yes, you will. You must.
Well, goodbye, then. There. You see how dignified I am? Goodbye.
Ah, you're here already.
Yes.
Why? Is he back?
He arrived a few moments ago.
How did you see it?
Well, he's in full dress uniform, so he's obviously been to see the colonel. What's more, he was wearing two orders.
Two? I knew he was to get the Order of the Sword on retirement, but what's the other one?
I don't know very much about these things, but it was a white cross on a red one.
It's Portuguese, then. But wait a minute. Didn't he compliment the Portuguese on their quarantine methods?
I believe he did.
He's never been to Portugal?
Never.
But I have.
Oh, you shouldn't be so ready with your information. He has excellent ears and a formidable memory.
Hmm. Don't you think Judith may have had something to do with his getting this order?
Really, Kurt? There are limits, and I think you've gone beyond them.
Well, are we going to quarrel, then?
Well, that depends on you and whether you trespass on my interests.
I can't help it when they cut across mine, however much I may respect them. And here he comes. Well, so long as it's direct attack, this state of siege is getting on my nerves. I haven't a single friend left on the island.
Look, you sit here by me, and then I shall be at your elbow. Here he is.
Good afternoon. So we're meeting here, are we?
You're tired. Sit down.
Oh, no, you're too kind.
He's been drinking.
Oh, no, he hasn't. Well, have you two managed to have an amusing afternoon?
Have you?
Looking at my orders, are you?
No.
Thought not. That's because you're jealous. We usually congratulate a man who receives honors.
We congratulate you.
They give us these instead of laurel wreaths, which they give to actresses, and which in your case were presented to you by your brother.
What nonsense.
About which I've had to be respectful for 25 years, and which it's taken me 25 years to expose.
You've seen my brother.
I certainly have. What about you, Kurt? You don't seem to be saying very much. You've heard the news, I take it.
News?
The soda factory's gone smash.
Oh. What about that? How do you stand?
Oh, I'm all right. I sold out in good time.
Very prudent.
What about you?
About done for, I'm afraid.
It's entirely your own fault, you know. You should have sold out or else taken up the new stock.
Lose that as well.
Nothing of the kind. The company could have kept going then.
Not the company, but you, the directors. In my opinion, the new issue was simply a collection for your benefit and theirs.
Maybe. May I ask how that ingenious theory will help you to recover your money?
It won't. I shall have to give up everything.
Everything?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Home? Furniture?
Mm-hmm. That's bad.
I've been through worse.
Well, that's what happens when amateurs insist on speculating.
You surprised me. You know as well as I do that if I hadn't subscribed, I should have been boycotted. You yourself said so. Now you call it speculation.
What's your next step? Have you thought about it?
Huh? I'd better have an auction, I suppose.
Oh, that's a very sound idea. Yeah, very sound. Yes, I should do that.
Why? What do you mean?
That's what I say. You see, there are going to be quite a number of changes.
On the island?
Yes. For one thing, your present quarters are going to be exchanged for something rather more modest.
Oh, indeed.
Yes, the arrangement is to have the quarantine station right down on the shore, on the seaward side of the island.
Yes, but that's my original idea.
Is it? Oh, I can't say. I don't know about that. I'm not familiar with your ideas on the subject. However, as a perfectly reasonable pretext for selling your furniture, it could hardly be bettered, and the scandal itself may well pass unnoticed.
But what?
The scandal? Well, it is a scandal to get into very serious financial difficulty the moment you settle in a new place. It's very embarrassing for your relations. Especially for your relations.
It's very much worse for me, you know.
Oh, now, my dear Kurt, let me tell you something. If I hadn't stood by you in this business, you would have lost your job.
Oh, that too.
You're not a particularly good organizer, you know. There have been complaints about your work. You don't assert yourself enough.
Yes, but...
No, please, don't interrupt me. Don't interrupt me. You're a rather lazy fellow. You know that?
This is extraordinary.
However, these changes are likely to take effect quite soon. I think you should have that auction at once, you know. Of course, you could sell privately.
Privately? And where am I to find a buyer in this place?
Well, you don't suppose I can move in with all your furniture still here, do you? Fine story that would make. Especially when I think of what happened once.
You mean what never happened, don't you?
You're very quiet, Alice. You feeling all right, my love? Fretting about something?
I'm thinking, that's all.
Thinking? You? Good heavens. Just think quickly, you know, and clearly and accurately, if it's of any help at all. Come along now, by all means, think. One, two, three, think. One, two, three, think. You see, you can't do it, can you? Well, then I shall have to see what I can do. Where's Judith?
Out somewhere, I fancy.
Where's Alan? By the way, Kurt, what are you going to do with him?
Do with him?
Yes, you can't afford to keep him in the artillery now, you know.
Oh, perhaps not.
You might get him into some cheap infantry regiment up in Norland somewhere.
Norland?
Yes, or why not set him to earn his living at once so that he can bring back something home every week? No, never have I known Alice quite so silent. Yes, my children. Married life, a seesaw. One moment you're up in the air, gazing manfully about you, the next you're down, then you're up again, and so it goes on. Up, down, up, down. So much for that.
Did you say anything, Alice?
Well, we can expect visitors here in a few days.
Are you speaking to me?
We can expect visitors here in a few days. Distinguished visitors.
Really? Who are they?
Ah. Now we are interested. So you can just sit there and make as many guesses as you like. And between guesses, you may reread this letter.
My letter? Opened back from the post?
Yes. As head of the family and your legal guardian, the sacred interests of the family are in my care. And I shall crush with an iron hand every attempt to sever the family ties by criminal correspondence. Ha! I know I'm not dead, but still, you mustn't be offended now just because I'm going to lift us all out of undeserved humiliation. Undeserved by me, at any rate.
Judith, oh, Judith.
Then I must be Holofernes, eh? Ha!
Who is that man?
How do I know?
We're beaten.
Yes, we are.
He's deprived me of everything, but so cleverly that I can accuse him of nothing.
Accuse? He's even left you under an obligation to him.
I suppose the visitor you ought to expect is the Colonel.
I shouldn't wonder. That's why he wants Alan out of the way.
And you approve?
Yes.
And we go different ways.
For a time. We shall meet again.
Yes, very likely.
And you know where?
Here.
How can you tell?
Oh, it's very simple. He takes over the house,
when he buys the furniture.
Yes, I think so too. But don't desert me.
No. Not for a little thing like that.
Come along in, Eleanor. I want to have a few words with you. You'd better take your cloak off, you know, and put it over there by the window.
Yes, sir.
Yes, well, come and sit down. Pity it's raining today. Quite spoils my view of the harbour. I enjoy sitting here and looking at the sea. Well, you don't like having to go, do you?
I don't like having to leave my father.
Oh, yes, your father. Very unfortunate man, your father, you know. However, parents are seldom the best judges of what's good for their children, generally speaking. There are exceptions, of course. Now, tell me, Alan, do you keep in touch with your mother?
Oh, yes, she writes now and then.
Mm-hmm. You quite understand, don't you, that she is your legal guardian?
Yes, sir.
Now, Alan, do you know that your mother has given me full authority to act for her in this matter as I see fit?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, you know it now. And therefore, there are going to be no more discussions about your career. You're going to Norland.
But I haven't any money.
Oh, I've arranged for you to have what you need.
Then all I can do is thank you, Uncle.
Yes, you, I think, are grateful. By no means everybody is, you know. Now, the Colonel has... Oh, by the way, you know the Colonel, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, the Colonel, you must understand, is a very great friend of mine. And I dare say you know that already. However, now, the great interest the Colonel has already taken in my family extends to my wife's relations also. And it's entirely owing to the Colonel's influence that you now find yourself provided with the means you need to pursue your military career. Now you can appreciate, can't you, how much you and your father owe to the Colonel.
Well,
do I make myself quite clear, Alan?
Yes, sir.
Then I think you should go and pack your things at once. The money will be handed to you when you embark. Well, that's all, I think. Goodbye, my boy.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
Norland.
Alan. You're here.
Why, Judith. Judith. Is this really you?
Well, don't I look like me? But where have you been all this time? What are you looking at? Oh, my skirt, my hair. Haven't you seen me like this before?
Never.
Well, do I look like a grown-up woman? What are you doing here?
Saying goodbye.
What? Are you going away?
I'm transferred to Norland.
Norland? When are you going?
Now.
Who's done that?
Your father.
I thought so. Oh, I do wish you hadn't got to go today.
So that I could stay and meet the Colonel.
What do you know about the Colonel? You really going?
I've no choice. Anyhow, I want to go. Now.
And why do you want to all of a sudden?
I want to get away from here, out into the world.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean, Alan. It's unbearable. People just speculating in soda and human beings. Alan, I used to be always telling you I couldn't suffer. And it was quite true. But now I'm learning.
You?
Yes. Yes, I am. And I can feel it, Alan.
What is it you feel?
I don't know. It's a sort of jerky feeling, as if I were going to die.
Judith.
Oh, and it really does feel like that, doesn't it? Oh, you poor boy.
If I were as cruel as you, I should laugh now.
I'm not cruel. I just didn't know any better. Alan, you mustn't go.
Oh, I've got to.
But I can never live through this. I'm suffering, Alan. What have you done to me? I don't want to live any longer. Alan, don't go. You're not alone. Let's go together. Look, we'll take the dinghy, the little white one. We'll sail straight out to sea. With the mainsail made fast and a high wind, and sail on till we found her. Far out. Shall we, Alan? We ought to have washed the sails yesterday. They should be pure white. I want to see white at that moment. And you swim with your arm round me till you get tired and we sink. Oh, there'd be some style in that. Far more style than in fretting out our days here and smuggling out letters for Daddy to intercept and jeer. Alan, do you hear what I'm saying?
Judith, why weren't you like this before?
But I didn't know. How could I be when I didn't know?
And now I've got to go away from you. Oh, well, perhaps that is best. Perhaps it's the only thing. I can't compete with a man like the... Oh,
don't talk about the Colonel.
It's true, isn't it?
Well, yes, it's true. But it needn't be.
Can it be untrue?
Yes, it can. And so it shall before another hour is gone.
And you'll stick to it? I can wait, Judith, and put up with it and work, Judith.
Don't go yet. How long must I wait?
A year.
One? I shall wait 1,000 years for you. And if you don't come then, I shall turn the bowl of heaven upside down and make the sun rise in the west. Somebody will come. Alan, we must say goodbye. Oh, take me in your arms. Oh, no, you mustn't kiss me. No. Now go. Go along.
Oh, Judith. Oh. Judith, I can't. I can't go away from you. I can't leave you. Not now. I can't.
Oh. Only you could see yourself now. If only you could see how beautiful you are.
A man can't be beautiful, Judith. But you are, Judith. You're beautiful. I saw that just now. I saw another Judith. My Judith. Oh, if you change your mind now, I think I shall die.
I think I'm dying as it is. Oh, Alan, I wish I could die now, this very minute, when I'm so happy.
Somebody is coming.
Let them. How I wish you could take me with you under your cloak. Then I could go to Nordland with you. But what would we do when we got there? Join the Fusiliers? The ones that have feathers in their hats. Oh, there's style in that, too. And you'd look so handsome.
Oh, Judith. Judith.
Oh, silly. You mustn't kiss my shoe. You'll get your lips all black. And then I shan't be able to kiss you when you go, so I shall have to go with you.
Oh, you can't do that. I shall be put under arrest.
I should still come with you there.
You haven't forgotten how to joke.
There's always time for tears. Let's say goodbye now.
Judith. Goodbye, Judith. Goodbye.
Alan!
Judith, you'll get wet.
What do I care? Kiss me again.
Goodbye.
All right.
Lieutenant.
I beg your pardon, Miss Judith, but the window, you know, it wanted shutting.
But, Lieutenant, you're the very man I want to see. Where's my coat? I want you to come to the post office with me now, at once.
Oh, of course. I'm delighted to be of any service, but ought we? I mean, would it be quite proper, especially now that...
All the better. I want you to compromise me.
What?
But don't let that put any ideas in your head. Come along.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. You'd better shut the window after us.
There's no one here. Well, Alice, you'd better tell him to come in.
Very well. Kurt?
You want to speak to me?
Yes. I have quite a number of important matters for your consideration. Sit down.
I'm all ears.
Well, then, you're doubtless aware that the efficiency of the quarantine system as practiced in this country has been steadily declining for 100 years or more.
That's the parliamentary candidate speaking.
But now the government has been contemplating the question of improvement. And as a preliminary, the Ministry of Health has appointed inspectors.
He's giving dictation.
You may just as well be told now as later on. I have been appointed an inspector of quarantine.
I congratulate you. And at the same time, pay my respects to my superior.
In view of our family ties, our personal relations will remain unchanged. However, let us turn to something else. At my request, your son, Alan, has been transferred to an infantry regiment in Norland.
But I don't want that.
Your wishes in this case are subordinate to those of the mother. She has authorized me to decide as I think fit. And I have done so.
I'm full of admiration.
Is that your only emotion at the prospect of losing your son?
It would please you to see me suffer. In fact, you want me to suffer.
It isn't in you. I remember being taken ill in your presence. And the look on your face was one of the liveliest satisfaction.
That's not true. You know as well as I do that Kurt was at your bedside the whole night trying to comfort you when your twinges of conscience were more than you could bear. And when you recovered, you were anything but grateful.
And so we must resign ourselves to Alan's departure.
Who's paying for it?
I am. Or rather, we are. That is to say, a small syndicate of those who are interested in the lad's future.
Syndicate?
Precisely.
Well, just to assure yourself that everything is in order, you may run your eye over these subscription lists.
Lists? These are neither monoliths than begging letters.
You call them what you like.
And you've actually gone to the length of begging on behalf of my son?
I'm afraid you're naturally ungrateful. An ungrateful nature is the worst thing in the world.
Huh? Well, then certainly I'm dead. And it's goodbye to my chances as a candidate.
Candidate? Candidate for what?
For Parliament, of course.
Oh, my dear. I'm surprised you ever thought of such a thing. You at least were in a position to appreciate that I, as an older resident, might wish to offer my services, although you seem to underrate them.
Well, I've lost that, too.
I think we may regard this discussion as closed. You'd better go and say goodbye to Alan Kurt. He's leaving by the next boat.
So. Oh, well, I've been through worse.
You know, you say that so often. I'm beginning to wonder what you did go through in America.
What I went through? I went through misfortune. Everyone has the right to be unfortunate.
Then you don't admit the old truth that every man is the creator of his own fortune.
Is it a truth?
Then you won't admit that a man's own strength...
I could measure that for myself that night when I saw you lying on your back.
Yes, and I could conquer even that. Look at me. For 50 years I've had to fight a whole world. Yes, fight. And now at last I've won. And I've won by sheer perseverance, energy and loyalty. Yes, and integrity.
You should leave others to say that.
Others never will, because they're jealous. However, we're expecting company. Today, my daughter, Judith, is to meet her future husband. Where is Judith?
Out.
In this rain, we'll send for her.
Perhaps I'd better go now.
No, Kurt, you may as well stay. Is Judith dressed properly?
She's quite presentable. You know for certain that the Colonel is coming, then?
Yes, that's to say his visit is to come as a surprise. In fact, I'm expecting a telegram from him any moment now. I shall be back in a minute.
Well, now you've seen the real man. Would you call him human?
When you asked me that once before, I answered no. But now I think him the most ordinary man on earth. Perhaps we're like that, too, making use of others and exploiting every opportunity.
He's eaten you alive, you and yours, and now you're offending him.
This must be the telegram. I think it's just come. Read it for me, Alice, will you? My glasses, my eyes are troubling me again. Come along, read it.
Well,
all right, Kurt, you needn't go.
Well,
isn't it to your liking? Come along now, who is it from?
From the Colonel.
The Colonel, just so. And what does the Colonel say?
Well, he says, after your daughter's impertinent telephone message, I refuse to have anything more to do with you or your family ever.
Once more, if you please.
After your daughter's impertinent telephone message, I refuse to have anything more to do with you or your family ever.
And that is Judith.
And that is Holofernes.
And what are you?
Well, that remains to be seen.
This is your doing.
No.
This is your doing.
No.
This... is your...
You asked for that.
Don't be angry with me. I'm very ill.
Are you? I'm glad to hear it.
Let's get him to bed.
No, I don't want to touch him.
You mustn't be angry with me. Good. Take care. My children.
I'm to take care of his children after he's robbed me of mine. It's fantastic.
Self-deception, as always.
Take care of my children.
At last, that tongue is stopped. It can't brag or lie or wound anymore. You believe in God, Kurt, and you must thank him for me. Thank him for setting me free from the tower, the wolf, and the vampire.
That's not the way, Alice.
And Edgar, thank you for setting me free. Do you hear? Now, where's your man's own strength? Well, where's your energy? Oh, Kurt, you can still spit. Spit venom, then, you viper, and I'll tear your tongue out. The head is off. But it still blushes. Oh, Judith, my wonderful girl, whom I carried like vengeance under my heart. You've set us free, all of us. And if you have any more heads, Hydra, we'll have them too. To think that there's justice on earth after all. Well, I dreamt there was, but never believed it. Kurt, you must also ask God to forgive me for misjudging him. Oh, but there is justice. I'm going to be a sheep now. Tell him that, Kurt. A little success makes us willing to be good. Adversity only turns us into wolves. Oh, Lieutenant.
Madam?
The captain's had a stroke. I think we'd better wheel him into the next room just as he is. Would you mind helping us?
Oh, of course. But, madam...
Well, what is it?
Well, you see, the fact is, Miss Judith...
That'll do in a minute, Lieutenant, if you wouldn't mind. Kurt, take the other side. Lieutenant, now, take it away, right away.
Right.
Yeah, that's better. And open the doors wide. The place must be aired.
Oh. You're not deserting me.
You always abandon the wreck and the crew save their lives. I'm not going to lay out a dead beast. Let him go to the dust heap or the dissecting table. The flower bed's too good for that barrowful. And now I'm going to have a bath. Wash away all this crime. If I can ever be clean again.
Now there's Judith on the terrace. Judith!
He's gone.
Who's gone?
Alan.
What, without saying goodbye?
He said goodbye to me and he sent his love to you.
Oh, so that was it.
Oh, Uncle, he's gone.
He'll come back, Judith.
Or we'll go after him.
And leave him? But what would people...
People? Judith, come here. Come here to me, Judith, my dear. Do you want to go after him?
Oh, how can you ask?
But your father's ill.
What do I care?
That's my Judith. Oh, how I love you, Judith.
Besides, Daddy's never mean. And he hates being cosseted. There's style about Daddy, you know.
Yes, in a way.
And I don't think he can be longing for me after that telephone message. Why should he throw me to an old man like that? No! Alan! Alan, I... Oh, Uncle, I want to go to Alan. Oh, you can see the boat from the terrace. Look.
Yes.
To think that flowers can grow out of dirt.
Madam.
Well, Lieutenant?
Miss Judith.
Do you find speaking the syllables of her name so irresistible that you can forget a dying man? Now then, how is he? How did you leave him?
It's all over.
All over? Oh, God. I thank thee in the name of all mankind that thou hast delivered us from this evil. Now, give me your arm.
Madam.
I must get out of this house for a moment and breathe. And breathe. Did he say anything before he died?
Miss Judith's father spoke once.
What did he say?
He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Oh! Incredible.
Yes, Miss Judith's father was a good and noble man.
Kurt!
Yes?
It's all over. What do you think his last words were? You'll never guess. Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And can you translate that?
Well, I suppose he meant that although he had always done right in his life, he was dying misjudged.
Yes. But his funeral sermon will be a fine one.
With masses of flowers from the NCOs.
Yes.
I remember his saying some time ago that he could never make up his mind whether life was serious or a joke.
But do you mean to suggest that his last joke killed him?
No. But now that he is dead, I have a curious inclination to speak well of him.
Then let's do so.
Miss Judith's father was a good and noble man.
There. Do you see?
Hmm. They know not what they do. I often asked you whether he really knew what he was doing, and you said you thought he didn't. So forgive
me. Oh, these riddles, riddles. And yet you know there's peace in the house now. The wonderful peace of death, wonderful like the subdued expectation before a child comes into the world. I can almost hear the silence. And there on the carpet I can see the marks of the chair that carried him out. I feel that my own life has come to an end, that I have only to wait. It's strange, you know, but the lieutenant's simple words, and he is a simple creature, keep running in my mind but a simple truth.
My husband, the love of my youth, yes, you may laugh, was a good and noble man in spite of everything.
In spite of everything? He was a brave man, too, when it came to fighting for his existence and his family.
What anxieties, what humiliations he crossed out in order to pass on.
He was one of those who had been passed over, and how much that explains. Oh, go into him, Alice.
No, I can't do it. While we've been talking here, the image of him as a young man has been coming back to me. I've been seeing him. I do see him now, just as he was when he was only 20. I must have loved that man.
And hated him.
And hated him. Peace be with him.
The Dance of Death by August Strindberg was adapted by Max Faber, with Donald Wolfit as the captain and Margaret Leighton as Alice. Kurt was played by Sebastian Shaw, Judith by Catherine Dolan, and Alan by Nicholas Edmett. Production for BBC World Theatre by H.B. Fortyne.